We're continuing our series entitled Written with the Finger of God. We're dealing with the law of God within a covenantal context and understanding its purpose and how we have defined the law and how it was developed as we see it, for we're teaching it out of the larger catechism, how the Puritans of the divines who were at Westminster seen and understood and applied the principles of God's law to life. And so it is, we're continuing on this series. Last Lord's Day, we looked at number 75, and we're continuing this week. We're going back just for a slight review, and then I'm going to try to bring this to a finish. But we're dealing with the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Our sermon text for the series is Deuteronomy 9, verses 10 through 11. Then the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Now, we have talked about how the first four commandments are so important to understanding the fifth, especially, and then applying that with that, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th commandments. The first four are fundamental in our theology in the way that we are to understand and the way that we are to honor and we are to worship our God. Out of the first four commandments, the first one dealt with the very general concept of religion. The second commandment, we said, was how we are to worship God in the religion that he has delivered unto us. The third commandment deals with revelation, and the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, and how we are to direct ourselves on the day given unto the Lord. But then he takes us to the second tablet of the law, the family. The fifth commandment. This is dealing with, as I told you before, Commandments 5 through 10 deal with a social interaction of how men are, according to the Word of God, to interact and to work among each other, both in their societal, in their governmental structures, as well as based on the family being the main structure to understanding this. In this fifth commandment, in Exodus 20:12, the Lord our God said, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Thus we have this great commandment given to us, that we are to obey God and to follow his commands. Now, we laid the foundation last Lord's Day. I want to just cover this before we go on the necessity of understanding the place of the home as essential to social development. In other words, everything that your child is going to learn to do is based on what you teach him and discipline him to do in the home. If you don't want him to act out in a way that is unbecoming a person who says they, quote, are a Christian, or in that sense, I guess you would say religious, then you discipline him at home. You teach him at home. Public is not the forum in which we discipline people. It should not have to be done. I'll never forget the time I got the most ugliest look I've ever had. Some lady was just having a problem with her child in the store. He's screaming, she's yelling. I just walked up by her and I just said, you know, if you disciplined at home, you wouldn't have this problem. She didn't like it. I didn't care. That was the truth. You do it at home, you don't have to do it in public. They already know how to act. Your home is your hothouse for training social development, right relations between inferiors and superiors, between equals. As brother and sister, your children learn to work and to interact with other as being equals. In the relationship to parents, they learn their duties and responsibilities as being inferiors. They learn how to have right behavior toward their superiors. And as superiors, we model for them what they themselves will be doing in the future. And that is, as they become mothers and fathers, they will take upon themselves the role of superior, and they are to reproduce again exactly what you produced in them. That's the principle behind, for the sins will be visited upon the next four generations. Well, each generation, if you're living in sin, is going to only know how to live in sin. You want them to know how to live righteously, how to act properly, how to remember what the moral law of God requires of us to do, what are the commands of Scripture for us. You've got to teach them in your home. If we do not, we can expect nothing more than what we taught them. Now, that's fundamental to understanding the problems in our society today. The moral law of God, probably about 80 years ago, really began to wane in our society. Even the early dispensationalists taught the moral law of God was important. So even they were not discounting the moral law, the Ten Commandments. But the society as a whole has simply walked from the law of God. Matter of fact, the law of God, they believed, was too legalistic. Can you imagine? God gave laws and they're too legalistic. Who are you to tell God what His laws ought to be? But they even sang songs about it. One little ditty, I think it was by the Methodist Church, as a matter of fact, had a song that said basically, "Free from the law, O blessed condition, sin as I will and still have remission." They began to give everybody a license to sin. No longer did mother and father see the necessity of having a loving relationship that was fundamental and foundational to the home. And thus, as divorce began to rise, children coming in out of wedlock, the home was not the biblical model God gave us to establish and build upon, but it was fractured and broken. And when you have a home that no longer is structured in the way that God says it needs to be structured, you can't expect any other behavior apart from that piety the father would be teaching to his children, and it will not follow him into the other three areas of life, whether it's vocational, whether it is the state, or it is the church. They will fail. Your church, your state are only as strong as the family within your nation. Destroy the family, you'll destroy the nation. And I would say that the goal of those who hate Christianity, even those who say they're Christians, have had a strong hand in destroying our nation. I believe the day will come when there will be a great accountability, whether it is by persecution or whatever means, either we or our children will face persecution one day, because it will come from the judgment of God. For where there is no law, the people will cast off restraint, we're told in Scripture. That means they'll cast off the law of God, the ethics that a Christian ought to have within society. Loving Christ is not a commandment in the sense of the Ten Commandments, though it is still a part of it. But love like that is undefined. What do you mean when you say, no law, only love of Christ? Explain it to me. What is that love? Because the Apostle Paul said, love is the fulfillment of the law. That means the keeping of the law of God. The only way to measure real love in society. Love of God, love of His church, love of the government, the state that He is responsible for ordaining, the love that you have structured within the home can only be understood in light of the law. That is how we measure it. That's why this commandment is so important. It's not a small thing. It is for us the very foundation of American society. When de Tocqueville went back to France and he wrote his book, put in his footnote that what made America great was not the government. It wasn't the church per se. What made America great was their understanding of their homes, of what a family is, how important it was to society. The big problem we have is we don't know what our homes are supposed to be any longer. We have lost the vision. And the Bible says when they cast off restraint, they will not follow God any longer. They will follow the God of their imagination. Oh, they may even try to identify Him as the God of the Scripture. But it is not the God that they are following who created all things and sent a Redeemer to redeem us back into right standing, that we might be able, through the Spirit, enable ourselves to live a righteous life according to the law of God. Instead, we got the old story. Well, you know, just turn your children over to the public school. We'll train them. And they have. They trained them to be a bunch of thugs in our society. And I'm not apologetic at all when I say to you, truthfully, the public school is the evangelistic arm of the Antichrist. It is one of the worst things America could have done to its home. Take a kid and put him 7 hours a day in a school system that is anti-Christ to the hilt, what do you expect from 2 hours of church on Sunday? As if somehow, magically, you can just wave a wand and everything they learned last week is gone. It doesn't happen. We are the most foolish people on the face of the earth who have the truth and will not hear it and will not perform it. And we want to know why we're at the place we are in this time of our life and in the culture of our society. Very simple. The home has to be built on the principles of the law and His word. And you have to train your children. You got to love husband and wife one another. Demonstrate that equality between the two of you. Two equals. Responsible before God. Having a family, both of you responsible for it. Teaching the children as inferiors how to respect your authority. Making sure they do respect it. Because if you let them get by, they're not going to respect authority out there or in here or in any other vocational area of life. Teach them to respect the superior and then to understand what are their duties as inferiors. And my friends, it's not wrong to be an inferior. Every person that comes into this life are gifted by God with certain talents and abilities. No one's the same. None. Some will be millionaires. I wanted to be a millionaire. I tried everything in the world, but God won't give me that money. He don't trust me. I understand that. I wouldn't trust myself, probably. But the answer is, some people do make millions. And they handle their lives very well. Very disciplined. Some have nothing, and yet they live their lives very disciplined. They can find, as Paul says, a contentment in whatever God has given them for their lot in life. Well, it doesn't mean they can't try to excel, to get a raise in their job, or to get a promotion. Not at all. But whatever it is that God gives them, and they are left to, no matter how much they work for or strive to do, they will be content in that very thing. Thus, inferiors need to learn it's not wrong to be a ditch digger. Just dig it to the glory of God. Act with the right attitude toward the superiors. Always remember this, as an inferior, you're always acting to superiors in accordance to the law of God. If anyone commands you to sin, the answer is no. God doesn't expect that from inferiors. But if everything lawful, you ought to do it as if you were doing it unto the Lord. You're working for Him. You may not see it now, but when the books of life are open, you're going to find out who was in charge. And that all your failings were not to your fellow man, or to your superiors in those who are fellow beings upon this earth. But you didn't honor God. But we can't do that without a family. And thus, He gives to us in this commandment the most basic form of structure to authority and life, the family. The state cannot produce people. Now, there's arguments over the fact the state may be cloning bureaucrats. That's a rumor, and it may be true, I don't know, because they all look alike, they all talk alike, they all smell alike, they all think alike. So they may have a cloning factory up there somewhere for bureaucrats. but they don't produce children. It's not their job to raise the children. That's why they have no authority to have a public school. It's not a question, could they or could they not teach the children well? Oh, I imagine if you had the right people and if you had the right curriculum, they could probably do a great job. It's not their job. The authority belongs to the parents. The state has no business involved in education, period. They are usurpers when they set up a statist educational program. It doesn't have to do with anything else. I don't care if they're good at it, bad at it. It doesn't make any difference. Those are all just nice little arguments to throw in the way. Look what he did to little Jimmy out here. Now he's a serial killer. Where'd he go to? Public school. He learned it. That's where he learned it. He learned their behavioral system. Has no respect for life. His mother had 4 abortions. She has no respect for life. How do you begin when people start with the concept that death is all right and you can kill who you want that's innocent? Do you not think that will spread throughout society? And yet they see it in their homes. Sad part is they see it in their government. Worse, they see it in many of their churches. The state is not the home. It's never meant to be the home. Its job, functionally, is to suppress evil in society as a government and to uplift righteousness. Promote it. These are good people. These are bad, and they will have to be suppressed. It's not the church's job. Nowhere in Scripture did God give the leadership of the church the duty to go in and raise the children of the church. It's not their job. The problem is when either one of these functions take over the family, the whole system is out of balance. Do you not understand that? You want a good church and you want a good state? You need a good family. Those are the 3 spheres of life that we operate in. But one of them is fundamental to the other two. The church, lo and behold, does not produce people either. Where do you think the state and the church get their people from? The home. The home is essential to that. And whatever the state is doing and whatever the church is doing ought to be supportive so that home, church, and state are all teaching the same principle. It's a triad of truth. The state is enforcing the law of God that's being taught at home, and the church is teaching the fathers how to teach it in their home. Both are there spiritually to guide in civil affairs, to protect the home and ensure suppression of evil. What's the one way to ensure people do good? You've got to have them taught in the home. That's what we were laying out the principle for last Lord's Day. Very important. Because if you want to know how to live out the other 6 commandments, it's got to start in the home. And if you don't start there, you're doomed to failure. Oh, it won't be overnight. But it will come quicker than you think. When it affects society, and when society no longer respects the way that God hath designed all things, church, state, and the family, you got a problem. Then it becomes self-centeredness. As soon as the state becomes the ward of the home, of the children, do you not think they're going to try to persuade them to their views and their side? Do you not think a church would do the same thing? Yes, they will. That is the teaching of the home, is to make sure that whatever is true and right is from the Word of God, and it is to be carried out in these areas of which they are going to participate. Future leaders in the church, future leaders in society, have been taught the moral understanding of how we are to live out our life in every area. Doesn't matter. Economics, social, cultural, you name it, academics. Everything has certain structures which we are to be sending our children out, that they will be the leaders of tomorrow, coming from the right home with the right law to institute in our society. But socialism and Marxism are two anti-Christ and anti-family political structures in life. They detest life. They detest the Christian life. They detest the biblical life. They detest the law of God. Their law is not God's law. Their view of life is not God's view of life. They come straight out of the pits of hell. And it don't take long to figure out who they are. And so it is. Last Lord's Day, as we were looking at honoring through the Word and through the understanding of the society in which we live, we were coming down to the very end, asking the very pointed questions of what we had been just talking about. Husbands, wives, children, here's society at its very best. Here's where God teaches us to function well. And children, by the way, happen to be really good tape recorders. You want to find out what's going on in the home? Talk to the little children. They'll tell you. Because they heard it and they'll repeat it. Very, very good way of finding out how homes are going. Listen to them. Listen to how they obey, respond to their parents. It tells you a story. Story of their home. And you can see the future in them that is the right future if they have been trained right. Thus, three types of relationships taught here. You need to walk away with this, and you need to think about it. The first is two persons possessing equal authority and willingly entering into and engaging in association together, the same as you would have two elders in a church. Equals. They could be superiors. They could be inferiors. But they are on equal standing. Everybody is on equal standing before God in the judgment. But I'm talking about in the administrative hierarchy of life. We are all equal before God horizontally, and we have to give an account, each one himself, husband, wife, children, when they grow up, when they're adults. We all give an account individually for God for what we do. But in this life, whether you're a superior or inferior, two people who are superiors or inferiors, when they are equal standing, or as we would say, of equal status, and that's what we're talking about, they come together to work in harmony and keeping the law of God toward each other, encouraging each other in their status to perform their duty toward either the superior or the superior to the inferior, or toward each other. There is that necessity of equality. We're not all equals, but we all are equal to someone in some way. And more than anything else, we're all created in the image of God. There has to be integrity. There has to be respect toward the fact that they are created in His image. It's the very one basis of why we do not abort children. The second aspect of this, we said, a person may possess authority over another person. As a parent to a child, which is the basic structure of it, as you children grow up and get ready to get married, you need to think about these things. Life changes when you have children. Life changes drastically. All of a sudden, you have somebody you're accountable for. And however you train them is how they will turn out when they grow up. But as a parent over a child, or a government official over a private citizen, or in a relationship between the elders and deacons of the church and the members of the church, you always find there is the superior and inferior in every aspect of life. All three spheres function that way. And superiors have equals, and inferiors have equals. Be content. Obey God. Do what He's commanded of you. Strive to honor Him. And everything He does, I guarantee He does according to that which He knows is best in your life. It is what He has ordained. But be content as that individual. And thirdly, a person may be subject to the authority of another person, as a child to a parent, a citizen to a ruler. You've got superiors responsible for how they act toward their inferiors. And you have inferiors learning how they are to act toward their superiors. That's the principle here. The family is used because that's foundational for teaching it. It only works when it works in the home right. Any other place, you'll have a displacement of loyalty. What's the first duty? What's the law of God really designed to do? To protect the integrity of the family. The church is to spiritually oversee it, to help discipline it spiritually where it needs to be disciplined, help grow it into a strong unit, and the state is to protect it from evil. But only the home is the teacher. Only the home is the cultural context for for raising a child to live in our society and in every aspect of it. Only the home. Thus we ask, what does the fifth commandment require in these various relationships of human society? The answer is really the question that we are facing right now of societal and cultural justice. When the church fails and when the civil government fails to do their jobs to suppress evil, but when they begin to call evil good and good evil, when the church no longer preaches the truth of the word of God, it throws out the law of God, tells the family you don't have to obey it. They leave the home literally shredded and open to every kind of attack. You can't have social justice. You can't have a culture that's designed to honor God and have integrity among its people. They can't. It will not. It's impossible. The fifth commandment requires that all obligations in the spheres of human society, family, church, state, be performed according to the word of the living God with the right attitude. You'll never get that if the home is wrong. You'll never see the next six commandments we're going to look at ever implemented correctly. And you know why? Because the fifth commandment, looking back to the first four, will no longer be looking at the first four. God's word doesn't mean what it says. And we have options. We don't necessarily have to obey it, or we can turn it or tweak it or twist it. We can put it in any way we want to put it. It doesn't matter. All roads lead to heaven. No, they don't. You want to change our society? One of two things has to happen. One, God grant a great revival, a great reformation in the changing of our nation. Literally, millions of people need to come to Christ. I don't see that happening because the gospel that's being preached is not the pure teaching of God's word. It's not going to happen. Not unless preachers begin to change and preach Christ as he is really presented in the scripture. Thus, the only other alternative is the home. And you'll never see that happen when the preachers are not equipping mother and father, and when the state will not suppress the evil, and they don't want to give up their right, their authority in things that pertain to the future of their nation. And more they'll talk about it as being, you watch, these are our concerns for our welfare. These are highly prioritized, and we think they will bring destruction to us if we continue to allow these things to happen. National security will become a lot more things than you will ever imagine. Why? Because they've already planted their flag and said, this is ours. It's ours. And the church has no response. And the family just goes along with the state. God help us to change the mindset through preaching and teaching. Build our homes. Build the future homes of the children we have on the Word of God. Teach our kids. Discipline them. That's the purpose. Scripture says, spank a child. State says, don't do it. They're ours. We like them just as mean as we can get them. What does God say discipline? He wants them to learn obedience. Sin has consequences. That's what you're driving from, foolishness. We are in a war. Wake up. And the very soul of your child is at stake. And the state has no qualms about arguing who owns your child. They have already staked him out. And the answer is no. Child belongs to God in the home. We have got to turn it around. May God help us to take this to heart. To align our homes in this nation. Christians to once again believe in the law of God. Teach the law of God. Explain how the law of God applies to all three spheres of life. So that whether a child goes into the church as a leader, or whether into the civil society, or whether he just goes into vocation, he will know how superiors are to act biblically, inferiors biblically, and equals biblically to one another. But without that, John Calvin says, without the piety of the father in the home, it will never carry out its mission. Society will fall. It will crumble. Let us pray.